I was fascinated to read Ned Temko's column today about Japanese MAGA, the rise of the populist far-right Sanseido Party, which just went from one member to 14 in the upper chamber of parliament. We're seeing MAGA lookalikes spring up around the world, but the Japanese version struck me as curious. Japan, after all, has low levels of immigration. Immigrants make up under 3% of the population, as Ned points out. Still, his piece brought me right back to my two-week trip to Japan in 2002 with a journalist group. Japan's adherence to tradition rang through loud and clear, including in the dearth of women in the newsroom we visited. The challenge for Japanese politicians today is rooted in more universal themes, as Ned writes. A need to re-engage with voters who feel economically stuck, unhopeful about their future, and unwilling to trust the same old politicians to improve things. It's Friday, July 25th. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning, I'm Linda Feldman. First, our curation of news briefs from staff writers and wire services. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs. Britain and India signed a major trade deal. First announced in May, it comes after more than 3 years of negotiations. It will cut India's average tariff on British goods from 15% to 3%. India says 99% of Indian exports will face no import duty. Britain expects the deal to boost bilateral trade by billions of British pounds, with Prime Minister Keir Starmer calling it the biggest and most economically significant trade deal Britain has made since leaving the European Union in 2020. United Health Group confirmed it was under federal investigation. Earlier this year, the Wall Street Journal reported that Department of Justice officials had launched a civil fraud investigation into how the company records diagnoses that lead to extra payments for its Medicare Advantage plans. Those are privately run versions of the government's Medicare coverage program. The company says it has begun complying with criminal and civil requests from investigators. Its business covers more than 8 million people. Also, Prague zookeepers care for baby vultures with puppets. When a yellow-headed vulture hatched 3 weeks ago, its parents rejected the chick. So bird keepers took over the feeding, using a puppet designed to mimic a parent bird. One of the zookeepers said the puppet is needed to make sure the bird will be capable of breeding, which it won't if it gets too used to human interaction. Now, today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com for our latest news. Amid sectarian violence in Syria, in which hundreds of Druze were killed, Israel struck Damascus and issued a warning to the new government. Israeli Druze are mourning the deaths, but are divided over whether Israeli military action is the wisest course. Druze family members often live on both sides of the Syrian border with the Israeli-annexed Golan Heights. The division among the Druze over how Israel should proceed reflects the complexities of their identity and loyalties at a time of region-wide upheaval. Lim Halabi and Dina Kraft report from Masadeh, Golan Heights, for the Monitor. Across the U.S., federal grants have helped communities prepare for stronger and more frequent storms. But now, with a key grant program cut, it's unclear where the money will come from. Some communities will tap into local resources, apply for other federal grants, or just do without. For some, resilience may have to take other forms, such as with new approaches to development in low-lying areas. Jacob Posner reports for the Monitor. The populist surge on the right is a familiar electoral feature across the West. In Japan, gains by the far right in recent elections show its global appeal. As in other countries, many Japanese consumers are struggling to make ends meet. Online messaging has been particularly effective in reaching young urbanites, but many middle-aged Japanese are still feeling discouraged after the economic stagnancy of the 1990s and 2000s. And they too are open to the Sanseido Party's norm-busting assault on the established parties. Ned Temko reports from London for The Monitor. President Donald Trump joked not long ago that nobody's ever heard of Lesotho. But the people of Lesotho have certainly heard of him. The workers at Precious Garments, based in the small Southern African country, make Trump-branded polo shirts. And now they face the threat of steep tariffs on August 1st that have already spooked buyers into canceling orders and led factories to slash production. The workers themselves are at a loss. "We are a small country that already lacks money," says a seamstress. "And now this." Majirita Latella and Ryan Brown report from Maseru, Lesotho and Johannesburg for The Monitor. With his new album, Made Kuti, grandson of Nigerian Afrobeat pioneer Fela Kuti, asks listeners to go deep. How can you be a better version of yourself? Unlike his grandfather's confrontational approach, Mr. Kuti's style is both reflective and forward-looking, shaped by the questions, struggles, and hopes of a new generation. In a Zoom interview with The Monitor, Mr. Kuti opens up about his creative process. "Music is not the solution," he says. "I think it's what can inspire people to bring change." Good Luck Ajay reports for The Monitor. How many cars do you need to drive from one place to another? Hope all your jewelry for neck, no heavy, 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 pass your head. Summer reading season is in full swing, and today we offer our picks for the 10 best books of July. Our book reviewers' picks include novels about an actor turned CIA spy and a museum worker who falls through a portal into a Matisse painting. The nonfiction topics involve Amelia Earhart's marriage, brazen thefts of Chinese art, and a study of seals. Reviewers write for The Monitor. Now, commentary from The Monitor's editorial board on how for Gaza and Israel. A push for spiritual diplomacy. Since the Hamas attack in Israel nearly 2 years ago, the Central Asian nation of Kazakhstan has reacted like many other mainly Muslim countries. It condemned the attack. It rejected plans by Israel to displace Gaza's Palestinians. It called for a ceasefire, as well as an unimpeded delivery of humanitarian aid, and it sent aid itself to relieve hunger. But Kazakhstan has been doing something beyond moral declarations and moral actions, and not just for the Israel-Hamas war. It has deployed what it calls spiritual diplomacy to help quell faith-driven conflicts at their roots, by reversing hatred with a recognition of the divine dignity in each person. Located in the middle of Eurasia, Kazakhstan has been a crossroads for major faiths over centuries. Since 2003, it has hosted a conference every 3 years that brings together prominent world clergy, from the Pope to respected Muslim imams. The next one starts in September. These gatherings, called the Congress of Leaders of World and Traditional Religions, elevate faith leaders as an alternative to political leaders in dealing with conflicts. It's critically important for spiritual leaders to weigh in and demonstrate through their example that dialogue and respect towards others must play a larger role in international relations. Bulat Sarsambayev, deputy head of the Congress Secretariat, told Asia Times. "Spiritual leaders who truly represent a culture of peace are powerful voices in today's world." Kazakhstan is not alone in promoting interfaith dialogue at a time of Israeli-Palestinian tensions. In early July, Israeli President Isaac Herzog met with a delegation of European imams who prayed together for the Israeli hostages in Gaza. In March, an interfaith march of Jews, Christians, and Muslims took place in Jerusalem. Don't let people tell you that there can be no peace and that Israelis and Palestinians are forever doomed to be hostile to each other. German Ambassador Stefan Seibert told the Times of Israel during the peace walk. Also in March, religious leaders representing Islam, Christianity, Judaism, and the Druze faith met in Jerusalem for an evening of dialogue. Perhaps it is time for people of faith to step forward. We can rise above crisis to say, "You are not my enemy, even if we deeply disagree," Rabbi Daniel Rowe told the Jewish press. We must foster voices that recognize the divine image in one another and acknowledge that we all serve and pray to the same God. The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how, as we accept that we each live securely in God's kingdom, our worries are replaced with a grounded calm. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Alyssa Britton and Mackenzie Farkas.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor. Copyright 2025.